Welcome to Chinese TV. Inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other. Delivering inspirational TV, one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Tony Lontis. Good afternoon, Australia, and good evening, America. This is your host, Tony Lontis, live on Radio Tony Everyday Business. And today I have a wonderful guest with me again, Karen Clark. But before I introduce you to the gorgeous Karen, I just wanted to remind everyone that Radio Tony has its own Facebook page. If you pop Radio Tony into the Facebook search box, you will find me. Please jump on and like the page. Send me a message or find out what our guests have been up to on that page. Radio Tony also has its own website, radiotony.com. And the best way to connect with me is info@radiotony.com. And also, you can find all about Radio Tony on BBS Radio/Radio Tony. And I have been so busy today, and I have to say that coming into today's show, this is my fifth of five shows this week. And so as I was speaking to Karen before we came live on the show, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning because I wanted to interview a beautiful 14-year-old young lady from the UK who is a motivational and inspirational speaker. And I tell you, after you've interviewed a 14-year-old with so much common sense and passion for what she does, it kind of makes me feel not only old, but somewhat not as bright as those young shining stars. So it's a wonderful experience to be able to be on radio and talk to different people each week about what they do and how they do it. And this is the next in our series of shows with Karen Clark. And before I introduce you to Karen, just a reminder, Karen is a long-standing businesswoman and she has been in business for over 30 years in firstly in the automotive realm with a mechanic boutique mechanic shop, and now in transformational coaching, NLP and mindset. And so she is a wealth of information about so many things. And we actually had a very frank conversation this week. And I hope Karen won't mind me talking about this because it was very helpful for me. So she explained to me that many years ago she had a problem with her facial nerve as well. And as you know, regular listeners from Radio Tony, you know that I've had a long battle with my left-sided facial nerve. Mine was due to a congenital defect at birth, and the damage was done after surgery due to subsequent infections. Karen's, however, similar issues, but hers was due to a, let's say, a dicky nerve in her facial branch in her head. And she required surgery to stop it misbehaving badly, which it did often and which she put up with for many, many years. So we had this lovely conversation about what it's like to be in the world and show up imperfectly. So it was really wonderful to talk to someone who understands what it's like to be fearful of smiling, that you're trying to cover the bad side of your face so that people won't notice, and that I was often accused of having resting bitch face because I wouldn't smile. And so we had this beautiful conversation about what it's like to get over that, get through that, and look at Karen today, this beautiful smiling woman who imparts such wisdom and genius to people all the time. And well, me, I'm getting there. Look at me, I'm on live streaming radio, and I am feeling the fear and doing it anyway, because I know that I know that I know that there are people out there who need to hear what we have to say. So I will keep showing up as my imperfect self. And the reason I mention it today is because I'm feeling tired. And when I feel tired, that left side of my face feels like it has sinkers or weights on that left side. And so I know that Karen would understand this, and I know that the audience is starting to have a bit of an understanding of that. So just sharing with you guys that are listening, that don't ever be afraid of showing up as who you are and be uniquely you, because you never know who's listening or who needs to hear your message today. So without further ado, I am going to introduce you to the gorgeous Karen Clark. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Tony. Oh my gosh, that was, as you say, that was a moment of in time that we didn't know something about one another. And I, as I said to you, I looked at you the day you'd launched your book, and I just thought, oh my gosh, Tony's so brave, and I know exactly what she feels like because I've been there, done that. And yeah, I just, like you, I just wanted to hug you and say, you know, I know what it's like, because it is, especially our faces, because our faces are us out there. And so it is a big thing to be brave and be able to carry on and do things like public speaking, or, you know, launching a book or a radio station where you're being streamed live all over the world. I said to you, you were so brave. You are so brave. And so it is good to acknowledge, as you say, to, I mean, another thing I used to do was get migraines all the time. And I met someone the other day who got them, and I said, she said, and we had a lot of similarities. And I said, you know, it used to stop me from planning things, because I used to get migraines every month, and they would last for 3 or 4 days sometimes. And so if you were somewhere where you had to be like bright and cheery, or you know, physical exertion or anything like that, and you had a migraine, you couldn't do it. And other people don't understand, who don't get migraines, they just don't understand. It's like the things you can't see, like migraines and broken backs and things like that. People don't have any understanding and any empathy of it, because they don't know what it's like. So yeah, it's it was lovely to have that frank, as you say, that frank discussion with you. And you can see my one's quite a bit lower today too. I don't know why. I must be tired, because I didn't sleep very well the night before, because I had that special interview, and I was, you know, everything was going through my head. So when I'm tired, I have that that eyebrow that's a bit lower still, and that's not the side I had it. This is the side I had it, but I've told you about it. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about the 11 universal laws. And I thought that we'd start our conversation about explaining to everyone what the 11 universal laws are, and how they apply to the quantum world. So maybe we should have a little brief discussion about what the quantum world is, and then we'll go into the 11 universal laws. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah. So the quantum world is the energy. It is a part of our universe that we can't see, and yet it's a part that everything happens in. And we know now, quantum physicists now know that things like light can react either like a particle or like a wave, depending on what's happening to it and depending on whether or not it's being observed. So that was an experiment that was done some years ago, and it's a famous, very well-known situation. What we know with regard to the quantum world is that our thoughts are all an energetic vibration. And it's basically like our thoughts all go out there, and we're all connected through our thoughts, and they all go out there, and they're like in a sea of thoughts in amongst this quantum world, this quantum world where the particles are smaller than the atoms and the nucleons and the protons and all the things we learnt about in science, or they make up it. And so these invisible laws that govern the universe, you'll discover when you learn how to work with them, are immutable. So the laws are immutable. They govern all visible forms of expression and experience, just like gravity is immutable. And so, we've all been given an amazing gift, the gift of life. And we all breathed that power through us from the universe and things like the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does. So essentially, in very simplistic terms, the quantum world is a world that's governed by laws that we can't actually see, but we can see and feel the effects of those laws.
That's very true. Yep, that's very good.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. And so notice so notice when I'm talking what your thoughts are doing and how they might be reacting, you listeners out there. Because what tends to happen is our ego steps in the way. And our ego's been trained to do this. So let ourselves be more than we've been trained to be, less than we can be. So listen and be open to what we've got to talk about today. And if your ego steps in, or you're knowing what we're talking about steps in, I ask you to just put it to one side for a bit and be open to what we've got to talk about today.
So your ego might be stepping in and going, oh, I don't know about this conversation today. Oh, I don't think this is right for me. Oh, I've never heard of such rubbish. That's ego, isn't it, Karen?
Yeah, and it's also our beliefs. You know, we all grow up with beliefs. They get instilled in us usually under the age of 10 or 8 even, and they get instilled in us by all of the people who love us. When we grow up, we think that our beliefs are actual truth. We believe what we believe is how it is. But then you find out that, oh, someone else has another belief. And so what we want people to understand is that if we open our perception, there are things that we will learn about. If we're prepared to change our perception, there are things that we will learn about that really are truth, rather than beliefs that may limit what it is that we can achieve.
So we want to challenge you today to listen with an open mind and challenge what you currently think is true. Is it actually true? Or is there another way of thinking about things? And that leads us to the 11 universal laws. And this is Karen's area of expertise. So Karen, tell us about the 11 universal laws.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to tell you about one of the best books on the universal laws, and it's called Working with the Law by Raymond Holywell. And I might just tell you a little story about that first, shall I, Tony?
Yes.
With my daughter, because stories always make things more interesting. So I have this book among many other books that I obtained, that I was given as part of my coaching when I was training. And, you know, my daughters have moved out of home, and at this point in time, they still had a lot of their stuff at my place. And so one daughter, my youngest daughter actually, who was studying at university in New Zealand to be a lawyer, had left a whole lot of stuff, and I decided it was time for her to come and get it. So I piled all the stuff together and said to her, you know, I said, will you come and get your stuff? And she said, yes. So I piled it all together, and she came and she took it away. And then about a week later, she came back looking rather sheepish with this book in her hand. And she said to me, Mum, this isn't my book. She said, I don't work with that kind of law. And it was Working with the Law by Raymond Holywell. And I'd seen it and just thrown it in the pile, thinking it was her book, when in fact it was the universal law that it was written about. So you know, the it's a very, very powerful book, and it's probably the best study of the universal laws that you can come across. The invisible laws of the universe, as I said before, they're as real as the law of gravity. So we all accept the law of gravity. We all accept the law of electricity or thermodynamics. Yes. So just to know that, just because we can't see them, or even we might not be aware of them, believe it, they always are at work. So you want to know about them, don't you, if they're always at work?
Sure do.
So we've got 11 laws. Let me run through what they are, and then I might talk about one in detail or two.
Yeah.
So the first law is the law of thinking. The second law is the law of supply. The third law is the law of attraction, which most of you will have heard about. The fourth law is the law of receiving. The fifth law is the law of increase, or we also say it should be the law of praise. Next is the law of compensation. Next is the law of non-resistance. Then there's the law of forgiveness, sacrifice, obedience, and finally, number 11, is the law of success, or that might even be 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh no.
11.
So the law of success is number 11. So is there one in particular that you would like me to give more detail on?
Well, before we do that, I was actually curious as to who developed these 11 laws, how they came into existence, and why we know about them now or are learning about them now.
Okay. Well, why we learn about them is because all of our, Tony, is because all of our failures in life are due to taking sides with the finite around us, the stuff we know about, right? Yeah. But all success in life is due to taking sides with the law within us. So therefore, working with the law, as we talk about it, might be considered the same as taking the law into our own minds and our lives as a silent partner. Yeah. So I also talk about how we co-create with the universe. So we're all creators anyway. As a human, you can't not create. And this is what we've talked about before. So we're all creating actually from our thoughts as a start. So if we are creating with the universe as our collaboration partner, we want to know how the laws of that universe work so that then our lives can be much easier, that we will receive all sorts of benefits that surround us when we understand how to work within those universal laws. So when we understand the laws of the universe, what they are, how they work, and how to apply them, life gets easier and more successful, and it flows. Who created them is an answer. There may be many people who decided they created them. However, as I say, Raymond Hollywell is one of the first people who wrote that book and discovered these laws of the universe.
And Karen, when did he actually do this? Is this relatively recent, or are we talking decades?
No, Raymond, actually, I'm not sure when he wrote that book. Let me see if I can find it out. I can't answer that. I'd have to look it up and find
That's
out.
That's okay.
But it's not recently. It is decades ago. Decades ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's not new. It's not new. Yeah.
None of this work I do is new. None of it.
Yeah. So I'd really like for you, in the first instance, to everyone talks about the law of attraction. So I'm guessing that we should probably get that one off our plate first and foremost and talk about the law of attraction. And then I want to talk about a couple of the other ones because they were what intrigued me in our discussion the other day. So let's get law of attraction off the to the start, and then we'll talk about some of the others.
Okay. So that's a good idea. So the law of attraction basically breaks down to you attract what you give energy to. And so when it comes to the law of attraction, it does no good to desire something unless you truly expect it as well. Expect it will happen.
Yes.
Either in part or in full. So just dreaming, if you're manifesting, you won't get it. You won't manifest it. You have to desire it and expect that it will happen with gratitude, gratefully expect it, to bring that law of attraction into force. So just like the pull of gravity, the expectation is the pulling the desire to become your, you know, what you want. That's the principle of the law of attraction. And many people don't understand that. They think, oh, yeah, if I just want something, it's going to happen. No.
But there's another part of it that's equally important, isn't it?
That's right. So the law of attraction is secondary to the law called the law of vibration. So those 11 laws I just listed off for you, those are all the main laws of the universe. However, there are many other laws that are like subsidiaries of those main laws.
Yes.
So the law of attraction is actually a secondary law to the law of vibration. And our mind is a magnet, and it attracts whatever corresponds to its predominant mental state. So desire and expectation are those two elements, as I said, of the law of attraction. A well-defined mental picture of what you want, held with calm, confident conviction, will activate the law of attraction. Then action provides a channel for that law of attraction to express. So it's all about frequency again, like we were talking about.
Yes.
The law of attraction is secondary to the law of vibration. And Einstein said it this way, everything is energy. That's all there is. If you match the frequency of the reality you want, it cannot help but be yours. This is not philosophy.
Yeah.
Physics.
Yes.
So the key is to hold a frequency that aligns with what we want to create in our lives. And people don't understand this. If we hold that frequency, what causes that frequency is our thoughts about what it is we would love, because they're a measurable energetic vibration. Our thoughts create a frequency just like the TV or the radio, the television or the radio are tuned to a particular frequency to be able to receive your television picture. Our thoughts are also a measurable vibrational energy that is a frequency. So the key is to hold a frequency that aligns with what we want. That's what Einstein means by match the frequency of the reality you want. How do you do that? How do you change the frequency?
How indeed?
So it's like the remote control for the television screen. In order to change the picture, we need to tune into a different channel. Just like that, we have to change our frequency. The things that will be at a high frequency are, one, the picture of what it is you would love in your life because it's something that you would love. Two is love itself is the highest energetic vibration on the planet. Gratitude is another thing that has a very high frequency. And any time you felt amazing, any time in your life that you felt really loving, beautiful, amazing, something was happening for you, that was a very special, wonderful time, you were operating at that, your thoughts were at that frequency. So that is how you can change your frequency. You can either give gratitude, you can think about and look at and read that vision statement that you've created about the life that you would love. Or you can think about a time when you felt really, really amazing. When I want to do it, one of the things I think about is when my babies were born, because I just had so much love in my heart when my children were born. I had three daughters that we, you know, and when they were little babies, because I just loved having little babies that are just like little animals that, you know, they can't do anything and you have to do everything for you. And I had hormonal high. And so when I want to change my frequency, I think about my children when they were babies and when they were little and when I was just so in love with them.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how you change your frequency.
So in simple terms, if we have a vision of our dream house, and when we write that vision down and we think about it and align it with a time when we were really, really happy, settled, feeling wonderful, then that's what activates and causes you to take the actions towards gaining that what you want. Yeah?
Very good. That's right, Tony. We have to start with, we start with where we want, what we want, or where we want to go. So what I say is, don't even just limit it to the house. Do the vision, create the vision in all the domains of our lives that we create our results in. By all means, part of it is would be might be a home that you would love to live in. Where is that home?
Yeah.
What does it look like? What do the windows view have a view of? What's the kitchen bench top made of? What colors do you have in your living room, in your bedroom, and with the drapes and furniture?
Yes.
As much detail as you possibly can. And when you're drawing that picture, that mental picture in words, when you're drawing it, you are setting up that dream of what you would love your life to be like.
Yes.
You don't have to know how. You just set it up. And in fact, you mustn't let the knowing how stop you, because if you try to work out how and know how you can achieve it, you will not build that picture of what it is you would really love in your heart. You'll limit it to what you think you know how. So yes, we create that picture and write it then in words and focus our attention on that. We set the frequency, we tune into it. So we focus our attention and not just a casual interest, but a burning desire, something that you would really love, something that's to you going to make your heart feel, you know, warm and it gives you a burning desire. And then you have a grateful expectation. So an expectation with gratitude that it's going to happen. In fact, we put it into the current tense when we write it to let people to actually put the message out there that it has already happened in perhaps 3 years' time. And the reason we do that, we date it 3 years' time so that the part of our brain that comes in and says, you can't do that, that's greedy, that's something
that's impossible.
How do you think you're going to do that? You haven't done it up until now. What makes you think you can do that in 6 months' time? So we actually teach people to do this vision of the life they would love, and we teach them to date it for 3 years so that that part of our brain doesn't get activated. The thing is, it can happen earlier. When you learn how to do this, it can happen much sooner. But it allows that part of your brain, it allows us to keep that part of our brain clocked quiet. So then you have a grateful expectation. So a burning desire and a grateful expectation, the two things together bring that law of attraction into force.
I remember listening to one of Australia's favourite Olympians, Nat Cook, the volleyball, part of the volleyball team. And from a very young age, she had desire to win a gold medal for Australia in volleyball. And She had this dream and she took it. She dreamed about it. She had a vision board and she also did some really amazing things. So she slept in gold pajamas. She slept in gold colored sheets. She had gold cutlery. She had all sorts of quirky little things that continuously reminded her of that big vision of winning gold. And of course, she did the hard work in terms of the training every day, day after day, and the coaching and all the action associated with that. But she said the most powerful thing for her was jumping into bed at night in her gold pajamas and visioning and feeling what it would be like to be standing on the podium in that gold medal position. So it doesn't have to be a house. It could be anything, because everyone is uniquely human. Their goals, dreams and visions are going to be uniquely theirs. So it doesn't have to be any one of the ones that we're mentioning today, but just examples of how this works in people's lives. It's a very powerful concept to grasp and to get into your life. So from Natalie's point of view, she wouldn't let anyone say silver around her. She wouldn't let anyone talk about silver medals or second place. In the last 12 months leading up to the games, she was solely and absolutely focused on gold. And of course she achieved it. It was inevitable. And I don't think people realize the power of our minds in determining the outcomes in our lives. And that's essentially what the power and the law of attraction is about. And it's one of the most popular ones because it's been popularized in recent times for people. But some of the other laws are equally fascinating and equally wonderful to try and understand. And one that I would really like to talk about this morning is the law of forgiveness.
Okay. Good. So just before we do, though, I just want to say one more thing about the law of attraction, if that's okay with you, Tony. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just like you were saying, our minds are actually a magnet. And they attract whatever, just like that girl, because that's what I want to address. They attract whatever corresponds to its ruling state. So for her, her ruling state was the gold. And so whatever we image in mind, whatever we expect or think about all the time, that will tend to be brought into our lives, the things and conditions that we're in harmony with, because the universe thinks that what we pay our attention to is our intention. Yes. And the universe, we're all part of the universe. We are all it. The universe wants us to have what we want. So if we're thinking about something all the time, the universe gives it to us. What tends to happen is, so everyone should be doubly careful about what we think about, because our predominant mental attitude is the primary cause of most everything that comes into our lives. And so that's what that girl was. Very clever, because she knew that, and she was thinking about what she wanted. What we tend to do is think about what we don't want without realizing.
I don't want to get sick. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be broke. That's focus on what you don't want. So you just want to cut that out of your brain when those thoughts come walking in and try and take away the good things in your life, then you need to just kick them back out again, don't you, Karen?
That's right. That's exactly right. So let's have a look at the law of forgiveness now. I hope that's been helpful, but if anyone wants any more information, I'm really happy to, you know, for people to read.
We're going to put Karen's details. Karen's details, if you go to Radio Tony, they're there, but we'll talk about Karen's website in a moment.
Okay, so the law of forgiveness. With forgiveness, what it does is most people think, oh, if I forgive that person, one, I'm condoning what they did. And forgiveness is always around what we perceive as a wrongdoing or a
Yes.
hurt. So what we tend to do is think, I can't forgive that person because that means, one, I'm condoning what they did.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I'm giving them more than what I'm giving myself. Why would I do that, you know? The thing is, as long as there's someone jailed, there has to be a jailer. And forgiveness actually frees the one jailed, but most importantly, and more importantly, it frees the jailer to a life of greater freedom, fullness, and joy. So what that means is, you know, if I've got someone I think has wronged me and I forgive them, it actually frees me. So let me explain a bit more about that. Forgiveness is a shift in perception. It's a different view. It's like saying, oh, I'm going to take these glasses off now and look through different lenses, right? Put another pair of glasses on. It's a shift in perception. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to look at every act that any person does, every single act, say it is either an expression of love or a call for love. Now, we already talked about love being the highest vibration of the universe. And if you look at every single act that every human does, and it's a difficult pill to swallow sometimes, and say every single thing is either an expression of love or a call for love. But that's from a book called A Course of Miracles, and that's what we believe. Regardless of how unskillful it may seem, everything is either an expression of love or a call for love. So if you consider your own actions, consider a time when perhaps your actions felt hurtful to another person without you necessarily knowing or meaning to. Would you say when you did something that another person was hurt by you? We can probably all think of a time when someone else felt hurt by us. Would you say your actions were an expression of love or a call for love?
A call for love.
Okay. Now consider the actions of another when perhaps you felt hurt by someone else. Would you guess that their actions were a call for love or an expression of love as well?
Call for love.
And so how does that shift things for you to consider that the other person's actions were either an expression or a call for love? So let me tell you a bit more about this. Book, A Course for Miracles, goes on to say that forgiveness is a shift in perception that removes a block in me to my awareness of love's presence. Yes. So forgiveness is a shift in perception. It allows us to see things differently. It allows us to remove a block in us. The block was in me all along. And to my awareness of love's presence. So when we are able to recognize that another's actions come from either an expression or a call for love, but it's from love, we're able to see love's presence. And that is when the shift happens. And in that moment, we're able to see love, compassion. The moment we're able to see love, compassion happens. And compassion is the first opening for forgiveness. So let me tell you, forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice by us. And it has, what we observe is that, no doubt, each of us has or will have experienced betrayal. Yes. Our body betrays us, another person betrays us, an institution betrays us. Who knows how many people we think have betrayed us right now in this point in history, you know, in history.
Yes.
When we get to decide whether we'll allow that experience to make us bitter or make us better. I hope you can understand my New Zealand accent. Make us bitter or better. Right? And ask yourself, if there's a hurt that I'm still carrying, how can I rewrite that story in a way that is empowering? How can I turn that experience into something that makes me better rather than bitter? So it's a process too. Forgiveness is not anything that you can ever say, I've done it. Actually, it's helpful to remind ourselves that we learn to walk by falling down. You think about a little child of about 12 months when they are starting to learn to walk, between 9 and 14 months usually. And what happens is they get up and they fall down, and they get up and they fall down, just as a baby learns to walk by falling down and continuing to get back up. We learn to forgive by continuing to do the work and remembering that with each step we take, we get a little better at it. So there are times when our minds take us back to feelings of hurt and the conversations in our head with the person who hurt us. But if we're doing the work of forgiveness ongoing, we're shifting our perceptions, we're reminding ourselves that every act is a call for love or an expression of love. And we're choosing to allow that experience to shape us rather than shake us. We'll notice that over time, the feelings of hurt are replaced by feelings of compassion, love, and forgiveness. And then we can start to say, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't had my past, my history, and my story.
Absolutely.
And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the times that I feel the need to forgive. However, now I'm empowered, you know, to have those feelings of compassion, love, and forgiveness, and move forward in my life with everything I've learned up until now to take me through the next phase of my life.
Yeah. And that's most powerfully displayed when you hear parents who have forgiven someone who has hurt their child. And whenever you see it on the TV, and you see it from time to time, where parents have lost a child through no fault of their own due to some evil person, and they will stand on the TV and say, I forgive them. That is the most powerful thing that they can do in terms of themselves.
That's right.
It's not for anyone else. It's for them, and so that they heal, and so that they go on and live a wonderful life. And in lots of cases, those very people are able to create powerful movements that change the world, just simply because they've taken that step and said, done the work and forgiven this horrible person. It's not for the horrible person. It's not for the thing that they've done. It's for themselves, and so that they can rise above it and do something better in the name of perhaps that child that was harmed. So again, another powerful law of the universe to grasp and understand and implement in our lives. Now, we've just probably got enough time for one more, and I'm going to let you pick that one, Karen.
Okay, let's do non-resistance.
Yes.
So the law of non-resistance is a great law as well, because what we talked about is how what you resist, you've heard the saying, what you resist persists. And once again, most people don't understand what that means. And so the law of non-resistance requires us to notice when we're holding thoughts about what we don't want. And when you study and learn about the law of resistance, you understand how to use it. And so let me explain some more about that. And I'll explain it by another little quick story. Or I'll tell you an introduction about it first. So the law of non-resistance, as I said, what we resist persists. So if you apply the law of non-resistance, you stop resisting, and you on the contrary, it's the contrary that's important, right? You start focusing on what you want to create. If you focus on what you want rather than resisting what you don't want, you're bringing the law of non-resistance into play.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you a story about that. I used to be a motorcyclist. I grew up with motorcycles. My father taught me to ride when I was 12, and we all rode for years. I rode as my only form of transport, I had a motorbike from 15 until about 20 when I gave it up because I got sick of bad hair, arriving to a date, to have a date with my boyfriend or whatever, and my hair was all stuck to my head from being under the helmet. So I gave it up. And then we all took up riding again, my father, my brother and I, when I was in my 40s, and my brother was in his 40s and my dad was in his 60s. And then my dad had an accident, so he dropped out because we did have some family rides together, which was amazing. And then just my brother and some of his mates and myself would go out on motorcycle tours a couple of times a year, really maybe three times a year, that's all. And so my brother was more experienced than me. He'd been riding for longer than I had again. And he had also raced on the beach and done all sorts of different kind of riding when he was younger. So he was a lot more experienced than me. So when we went out one day, he said to me, he used to tutor me a little bit and sort of say, hey, do this, don't do that. Try to teach me how to be a better rider. Because we were on fast super bikes or sports bikes, which are designed to be ridden fast, and we used to ride the back roads of New Zealand. And so one day we were heading off for this particular part of our journey, and he said to me, okay Karen, we're going on this back road here. And these were back roads that were often just one lane. They were like a country road with just one lane, and you'd just go around the corners, and you couldn't always see what was around the other side, of course, and we would be riding fast enough that we would not be able to see what was around the other side until we were right at the apex of the corner. And so he said to me, one day if you come around a corner and there's something in your way, there's something on the road, maybe it'll be a boulder, maybe it'll be a branch of a tree that's fallen down, but he said, if there's something in your way, the first thing you must do is look for the gap, look for where you can get around it, look for where you want to go. Don't look at the obstacle, he said, because if you look at it, you will hit it. And when I learnt this law of resistance, I always thought of this time when we were going out, and this is exactly it being applied, because he was saying, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Don't look at the obstacle. And this is a wonderful law of life, because we all have challenges and obstacles that come up all the time. And what tends to happen, like I said, is we think 70 plus thousand thoughts a day. And most of them are about the challenges, the obstacle, the things that we don't want. And when we understand, hey, turn it around. Move to what you do want. Focus on what you do want. Create the outcome that you want. Create the vision of your ideal dream life and focus on that. It changes things. You're actually bringing this law of non-resistance into play, and you're applying it in your lives, just like all of the other universal laws that we apply. So water shows us the way of non-resistance. Water is really powerful, but every turn it takes, it gets nearer to its goal. You know how water always takes the shortest possible route? And if we go through life fighting, opposing, resisting, arguing, we're bound to meet with many obstacles and likely to become so occupied fighting them that we lose sight of our real objective. Whereas if we make little of the obstacle and keep our minds on the objective or the desire or the outcome, and we might have to wind around a bit, but if we persevere, we will ultimately win. We will reach our goals and our dream life.
Yeah. So that's another powerful one of those universal laws. Just a reminder, Karen, what was the book that you talked about? Miracles.
A Course for Miracles, or the Raymond
Holloway. A Course of Miracles.
Yes. Yes, that's another.
So he wrote that as well?
Pardon?
He wrote A Course of Miracles as well.
No. This is just one of the books that we use as a reference when we're talking about the law of attraction. A Course for Miracles was written by Helen Schuckman. A
Yes.
Course in Miracles. That's called, sorry, A Course in Miracles. Helen Schuckman. Very,
Okay.
very clever little book as well.
I've heard Gabby Bernstein talk about Helen in a number of her talks that she does, and also in Gabby's books, she makes reference to A Course in Miracles as well. So this is, pardon me, current content and current for our lives. And I think that the more that we start to learn about these things and the more that we start to teach them and to help them play out in our lives, the better we become as humans and humanity. So I know that you've got this wonderful wealth of information, and I also know that you have a special guest gift for our listeners today. Do you want to tell them about that special gift, Karen?
Yes, certainly. Well, as I've been referring all the way through, it's critical for you to start with that outcome, that vision of the life that you would love. That's a starting point for all of these laws. They all refer to it.
Yes.
I'm really happy to offer anyone who would like to learn how to do that and get in touch. I can prompt you and help you to get in touch with what it is you would love
Yes.
if you didn't think it was impossible, and create that vision statement, design your life. I'm happy to offer this hour of power, I call it, where sometimes it even goes over an hour, and we really drill
Yeah.
down and get in touch with that ideal life that you would love and create. I teach you how to create that vision statement in detail as the starting point for all of this work, and how to make the quantum realm and the laws of the universe actually come into play for you, because they're doing it anyway, but you're doing it by default. Why not do it by
Yeah.
design?
Because truly, as humanity, there is enough abundance for everyone. So if everyone was living according to these laws, then their people would be living happier, more beautiful, peaceful, wonderful lives, dependent on only on what their specific dream is. Because my dream is not your dream. And some people might dream that living in Alaska, in a cabin and being self-sufficient, that's their dream. It's about an individual and what floats your boat, essentially, and not about what anyone else thinks or anyone else desires for you. It's about you and only you, and you'll have your own unique dreams and desires, and that's the work that Karen helps you do. And if you've never done work in vision boarding or developing a vision for your life, why not start now? Since I learned this, and again, I was kind of late coming to this stuff, so I only did my first vision board in my 40s, I think. And that was a result of going on a retreat for a weekend with my adult children, and we all discovered how to create a vision board. We all did these amazing exercises, including chopping a block of wood in half, all amazing things that you learn the power of your mind. So I, again, if we could teach some of these concepts to children in high school, what an amazing world we would have. There would be less of all the bad things that we see across the world, because people would be empowered to live wonderful lives, and therefore there would be without the angst. Because all the bad things in life come from a cry for love or a lack of power, and understanding how to apply these laws to your life will negate a lot of those things, won't it, Karen?
And you're so right, Tony. I also did the same thing, and I probably didn't discover mine either, although I found that intrinsically I had been using some of these laws from my 20s or earlier without knowing it. And it is, it's so important to understand that they're going to be, it's happening anyway. The laws are
Yes.
there, and
Why don't you
they're
have take back some of that control.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, my lovely girl. We are out of time again. So yeah. If you want to connect with Karen, jump on to the Radio Tony website and look under my co-host section, and you will find all the details for Karen and how to get in touch with her and book a complimentary strategy session. It will be well worth your time, and it will help you your life.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Can I add, I can it on Zoom, so I can do it anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are.
In the world.
Yeah,
anywhere in the world, Karen is available for a free session. And so we are completely out of time again. Thank you, Karen, for another amazing show. And we look forward to our next show next week. So I'm Tony Lontis from Radio Tony. You've been listening to Everyday Business with Karen Clark. And thank you so much for your time today. And we look forward to chatting to Karen again next week. Bye for now. Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now.